Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to identify any root problems in men's lives and help them solve those so that they can create the life they want. So I am super excited to introduce Pete Beskus. Now, Pete is a certified life coach, and his mission is to help other fathers create the life they want now and the legacy they want to leave. Now, Pete's a husband, father, mentor, coach, engineer, and entrepreneur. And after over 20 years as an engineer, he discovered a new passion that has led him to this new mission of helping dads take complete ownership of their lives through awareness, maximizing their time, and taking action. Well, welcome, Pete. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thanks, Wendy. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, I just love how you're helping dads create and live more fulfilling lives that make a bigger difference. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. I can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. And, you know, Pete, always top of mind question for me is exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
Well, and I think that's the best question for everybody. You know, I trained as an engineer. I worked 20 years in the corporate world. I was, you know, by all measures, very successful. I had great wealth. You know, I had met my wife. I had challenges. I worked at amazing companies with amazing people. But I figure, you know, after a little bit of time, I just started, some dissatisfaction started creeping in, and I started to feel burnout. And, you know, it was a burnout around expectation. There was absolutely nothing wrong with my life, you know, but I couldn't get out of my own head, right? And at that point, I really felt, you know, trapped, skittish, looking, you know, looking to associate blame and all those other things. And I started to make drastic changes. And that kind of included selling everything.
Oh my God. Wow. And yeah. That is a drastic change.
Yeah. So I quit my job, sold everything. And my wife and I moved down to California from Canada to buy a dental practice.
Really?
That was my first step into entrepreneurship.
Okay.
So that was, you know, that was kind of the.
Now, so did you, I mean, you're an engineer. You bought a dental practice.
Yeah. Okay. My wife is a dentist. And I
thought to myself
after that daughter. Right. After 20 years of working in corporate, I knew how to run a business, right? I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. This can't be that hard. That was the thought. This can't be that hard.
Right. And
I found out it was. It was a lot harder than I thought it was. But I think it was primarily because it wasn't my calling, right? It was just an escape. It was, I didn't want to be doing what I was doing anymore. And I was looking for any opportunity to just leave that space.
Yeah. Any way out.
Any way out. That's right. Yeah. And when I fell into coaching, it was really a calling. It just kind of came to me one day where I was working with coaches for the business, and my world opened up and saw that, oh, you have the skills to help people.
Ah, wow. So somebody else saw it within you.
Yeah, actually. We were working with a group of coaches in our business.
Okay. And this is the dental business.
The dental business. Correct. Okay. they helped us. They were just business coaches. They were business and kind of balance. They tried to create balance in our lives and make us see all the benefits of having a well-balanced life. And when I saw that, and I saw the kind of the skills that I had, which were identifying and solving problems, you know, as an engineer, you're challenged to solve unique problems. That's what I always love to do.
That's what you love. And that's a great, I mean, that's huge for an engineer. I mean, that's what an engineer does.
That's right. And
but when, you also have the people skills, it sounds like, the, you know, the love for people, which is such an important part.
That's what's funny, because what I always joke about is I'm the worst engineer in the room, but I can get everybody to talk about the problem.
Right.
So I'm really good at utilizing people's, you know, their skills to bring the best out of whatever we're working on. And I think that when we talk about like the superpower, we talk about what we bring to the table.
Yeah.
I saw that as the value in a coach, mm-hmm. is the ability to see the problem and use the strengths that are in the individual person to yield the result they want.
Yes. Ah, I love that. That is powerful, Pete. That is to find the strengths within them. So it's not something, you know, external. It's, we all have that, and you're able to bring, to inspire that, or to help them become aware of that. And first off, identify it, which is, for most people, that's the mystery.
And I think, and it's the first step, right? Everyone says you cannot solve a problem unless you find out what that problem is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that, you know, as human beings, and this comes from my years of being an engineer, how my brain works is that everyone is a unique solution. There's a unique solution for every person's problem. There's no one size fits all. And mm-hmm. you really need to be able to work with people to uncover those things,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and use those skills.
Right. Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. So 20 years as an engineer, obviously a small stint of time owning a dental practice. So how long have you had your coaching practice? And during that time, has your business mission or vision evolved?
Well, I've been coaching now for about 2 years, and so pretty early on in my career, but I feel like I've been coaching forever. I mentored people throughout my career as an engineer. I've coached people through, you know, when you have employees, you have to inherently be a coach. You know, mm-hmm. you have to be able to move people along. So those skill sets have always been there. That desire to help up-level people has always been there. And I think my mission right now, over the last 2 years, it's just become more clear that the real underserved community out there are fathers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's a coach for everybody out there right now. You can find almost any flavor, any solution that needs a problem. But I think dads are just underserviced. Mm-hmm. That's kind of why it's so personal to me.
Right. Well,
as a father.
Yeah, I'm guessing you have kids. Right.
Yeah. I have two kids. I've got a boy and a girl. My daughter Zoe, she's 8. My son Alex, he's 6. And again, this journey was really to become a better father for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're walking your talk, and then you're sharing this wealth of knowledge and expertise and compassion with other dads. So yeah, I love that. Well, Pete, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way in building your coaching practice?
I think the biggest obstacle was just self-doubt, right? In that ability to step out and become an entrepreneur, to step out and create something,
right.
You're doing something that no one else has done before you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, there's a lot of doubt. And I think that there's a lot of, and with doubt comes fear. And I think those were, for me, the major roadblocks, is overcoming that fear of change, overcoming letting go of what you know and stepping into that unknown.
That is frightening. It's kind of like being at that edge, you know, you have a parachute and you've signed up for skydiving and you know, this is something that's going to be exciting. And you got all excited about signing up. And now you're at the edge of the door and you're looking down and out into the vastness. And it's like, do I really want to take this leap?
Oh, totally. And it's just like that explorer who first set sail. Like, how many people are explorers in the world? Very few.
Very few.
And,
yeah.
And entrepreneurs are a rare breed. And
mm-hmm.
to go out and create takes a lot of courage.
It does. It does. Absolutely. And so can you share maybe a technique that you use to get over those self-doubts and those fears that were creating that resistance? Obviously it didn't hold you back, but what did you do to work through that?
What I worked on heavily was using the lessons that I've learned, not as a tether to hold me back, but as a launching point, because I believe, and this is the case with all of us who, after, you know, doing a profession or skill set for a long time, we become really comfortable and complacent, but we forget those early steps, those first steps. And I saw that with our children. You know, when you're seeing your child try to walk for the first time, there is no doubt in your mind that they will walk. Mm-hmm. You know, they will walk.
Right.
You're watching them struggle to the point where they take those first steps. And I believe it was the same kind of mindset that I put myself in for entrepreneurialism after really analyzing it, is that this struggle is necessary. Mm-hmm. The result will come.
Yeah.
As long as you put in the work and the effort and accept that the struggle is part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, I mean, Pete, you're just giving one, it's just this ongoing wealth of wisdom that you're sharing with us. It's just fantastic. I love that. You know, your analogies, and, you know, really coining with the, you know, we know that our kids are going to, they're going to learn how to walk. There's no question about it, but yeah, we're going to fall down, and yeah, it's going to be, you know, scary and probably not going to manage that first step for quite a while, you know, but they're going to do it. And I love that comparison with, that's what it's like to just get out there with spreading new wings with a new vision and new mission. So yeah. And Pete, you're obviously an expert at helping dads become aware of their problems, what's holding them back, and what they can do to take full ownership over their lives and create that fulfilling life for themselves. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
This is a great question, Wendy, because I think anyone who transitions, especially if you're a person who trained in something else and then transitioned into a business, mm-hmm. If you're technical like I was, they didn't teach you marketing. They didn't teach you sales. They didn't teach you any of this stuff. And for a lot of us that start our own business, that's probably the most uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah.
It's that overcoming going and asking people if they need help.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yeah. Shifting the mindset from, I'm not selling something to you, I'm offering something to you.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is a big shift. And depending on what kind of experience you had previously with other sales people, then you might be bringing into the picture some baggage, you know, and resistance about not wanting to be that guy.
That's right. The inherent bias of the carpet, you know, the used car salesman or the carpet salesman, right?
Right.
I have a funny story that when I was growing up, my parents had a restaurant and a pizza place, and I used to work tend the bar. And that was my experience in sales, where people wanted the beer and they came and bought the beer.
Yeah. I'll take one of those, Pete. Okay, perfect.
That's right. And that's
I wish that dads would do that right now. Hey, Pete, I need help finding, you know, fixing all this stuff so I can create a legacy for my kids. Can you help me?
And I think you nailed it, Wendy. That I think is the biggest struggle that I see with fathers, with men in general. It's the resistance to ask for help, and it's the resistance to invest in themselves.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you'd like, I could provide you with a little insight around maybe how to shift that paradigm or give you some techniques.
Yeah, I would love that. Like that's, you know, that's what your zone of genius is, right?
Yes, it is. So it's interesting. You know, the first thing that you mentioned was how to support dads and realizing it's okay to ask for help. And then the second part of your question is understanding that it's really worth the investment to, you know, to get your, you know, your support and to look outside of themselves and to realize that, you know, this is a worthy investment. This is a worthy place for my money right now, even though we've got mortgage and braces and the kids, you know, whatever that goes along with all the things that go along with raising kids. And so, you know, the first thing, and might not get into both of these, but the first thing is how to help or support dads in asking that it's okay, right, to ask for assistance, or it's okay to want to have something different for themselves. The first thing is they have to realize that where they're at and what they're feeling is not like the way it has to be. You know, there has to be that first off awareness that, you know, there is something more, that it's not necessarily just, oh, I got to put my head down. I just got to do this. I got to put, you know, money in the bank. I got to put food on the table. I got to just, you know, who cares about how I feel, whether I'm, you know, feeling like what I'm doing is satisfying or fulfilling to me. It doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm providing and that I'm responsible, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm. I would agree 100%. Okay. And I think
go ahead.
Sorry, I was just to expand on that and the idea that to provide isn't just financial.
Yeah.
It's a shift.
Right. And so that's where they're at, though, is that they think it's just what they got to do. They just got to get through it. So your messaging comes from a place of, you know, whether messaging meaning, you know, when you're advertising or, you know, however you're getting your message out there, social media, you know, free content, webinars, that kind of thing. But the messaging really hits that head on in terms of, you know, are you going through the motions feeling empty or exhausted? Or, and of course, you know, your words are going to be different than mine, but the point is you're putting a message out there that really has them self-select with, yeah, that's me. There's a tremendous pressure. You know, I need to keep doing what I'm doing because I'm that responsible dad. And I couldn't imagine, you know, shifting anything because I got to keep providing for my family. You know, there's a lot of fear around, you know, changing anything regardless of how they're feeling. And, you know, then presenting the confirmation or the validation that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. There is more and there can be more for you. And here's how. And that first opportunity for them to just start to shift their paradigm, you know, is the first step. And that's usually through some, you know, easy, you know, a free content, whether it's some quick video or something that allows you to speak from your heart and further resonate with where the dad's at and what his existing beliefs and fears are. And then present the possibility and how it's a safer move to be living more into a fulfilling life, because then there's not the chance of maybe health risks. You know, we've all heard that, right?
Of course.
Dad goes 110 miles an hour at 110% and he has a heart attack. You know, then he can't provide at all. And so there's plenty of proof of the fact that just putting your head down and going through the motions and living with all this disconnect is not the healthy way to go. So anyway, that would be, you know, the beginning of just breaking through that resistance of even considering that there could be something beyond the pain that they're experiencing and that the risk is not being irresponsible.
And that's a great, I think that's great insight. There's something beyond the risk that's of value.
Yeah. And what is it? What is the risk? Really, what is the real risk? Continuing, you know, in this state of not being fulfilled and satisfied and not really living a life that has meaning, and then, you know, having other things show up with health, or, you know, geez, the strain on the relationships, and, you know, the ripple effect is huge. So hopefully that's helps provide a little insight in terms of how to help, you know, shift somebody's paradigm that is really stuck in a belief system.
I think that's, they said, I think that is huge value. You know, it's those thought errors that we all have, like this life is for others. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you've nailed it. That's the messaging that I definitely can employ.
Yeah, good. All right.
To help see the problem.
Exactly. You have to always meet them where they're at and understand that, you know, they're doing what they're doing because of beliefs. So, all right. Awesome. Well, I can't wait to hear how that rolls out for you. So be sure to keep me posted.
I will. I will. Of course.
Pete, we're still in this pandemic. I thought for sure by now we would be well beyond it, be well in the rear view mirror, but we're in it. But it has created such an impact for dads. Right? The last 18 to 20 months of, you know, just not just the health issues or fears, you know, trying to stay safe and keep the family safe and all that. But a lot of dads have had to shift to working home-based, you know, remotely, or maybe even furloughed from those allegedly secure jobs because of the huge shift that the pandemic has created. So I'm just curious, can you speak a little bit about what the pandemic has had in terms of the impact on the work that you do?
Yeah, a lot of the dads that I talk to, you know, and like you've mentioned, there's a huge spectrum. There are dads who their wife were furloughed. There are dads that have been furloughed themselves, are now at home with the kids. Their wives are working. Roles have reversed. This is a new paradigm shift. COVID created that. It's a generational effect here where a lot of men who weren't prepared for this new reality. Mm-hmm. And it is a new reality because, like you said, you thought we'd be out of this by now, but this isn't going away. And this paradigm shift is here to stay. And the new stresses that are put on fathers to show up as a father, as a mother, as a home care, you know, as a home giver, maybe they're also taking care of parents. You know, they're having loss in their lives. This is a lot of things that are coming at them. Mm-hmm. At once.
Right.
And I see that a lot of men are overwhelmed.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And it's that now they're at home, or, you know, if they're not at home, but they're seeing the impact that they have directly on their children, on their spouse, on their relationships, on their health, like you mentioned earlier. And if you're in a state of overwhelm, and if you're in a state of panic, or, you know, you're basically just, you can just go into, you know, fight, flight, or freeze. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're seeing now from a lot of fathers. It's, you know, bursts of anger. Maybe it's increased drinking. Maybe it's just doing nothing. Maybe it's just retreating from your family.
Right.
And what are those long-term effects? Because what happens, you know, if you got furloughed, you've lost confidence in yourself, your ability to provide. You have to shift how you view the value you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Right. So this spectrum, and I'm sure it's kind of one, like the thing where one of those points applies to every man.
Right. Yeah, that is it. It has really created a lot of, like you said, so many things coming at dads that they're not accustomed to having to manage and be facing head on. So, well, Pete, how do you work with dads who want to finally live those fulfilling and rewarding lives now and, you know, create that legacy for their kids? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach beyond what you've already kind of given us a little window into?
Well, I think, you know, my basic philosophy is simple. It's, you know, first we have to create awareness. And I like to work one-on-one with people and really, you know, talk with them, work these things out, figure out what their unique problem is and how to approach their unique solution. But the second is really, second pillar that I have is ownership. Like, you really have to say, you know, Jocko Willings talks about total ownership, you know, being completely an owner of your surroundings. And I believe in that because you can identify the problem, but if you don't start taking responsibility and knowing that you're the solution, then there is no change. Right. So I work with fathers to really, you know, stop taking the blame and the victim mentality. And, you know, that's a really anti-dad thing to be, as a victim, right? Right. How many times do we hear man up or just get it done? But again, a lot of us, you know, myself included, have been able to put the responsibility on others for how we are, how we, you know, our lot in life. We blame COVID. We blame our boss. We blame our wives. So I really like to work really closely to to create that awareness, take that responsibility, then look at how you're spending your time and being intentional with your time. And then the last part is taking action and helping you through to the end.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I was just jotting down all those because, you know, the thing about the whole ownership and responsibility component, which every component that you have laid out here as part of your process is just, it's so, you know, each one is such a huge pillar. The whole structure can't survive without each one of these pillars, but yet each pillar is, you know, so powerful in and of itself, right? Awareness. I mean, that yes. right there for anybody to realize, like we talked about earlier, I mean, and that's your zone of genius is to be able to identify what the root cause is, what the real problem is, and become aware of that. But the ownership part, you know, what's interesting for me is when I realized that having the responsibility or owning the responsibility is actually really empowering because then we're not at somebody else's mercy. And of course, this is all in our minds, right? But that moment when you realize that you really do have the magic wand in your hand, you know, it's not magic, but you do have the reins in your hand to make the change. You're not at the mercy of this, that, and everything else. So that's huge right there. And then how to spend your time intentionally, because we all know that, especially if anyone gets on social media, that's, you know, oh, there's 2 hours right there.
You know? Totally. Exactly.
There's 2 hours. And it's like, where did that go? You know, every time I go to do something really quick on the computer, it's an hour. And so having that intentionality around time, and then the action plan to support this new vision. So yeah, it's a solid plan. I love that. Well, Pete, how can listeners learn more about you, your expertise, and some of the wisdom that you obviously can share?
Well, thanks, Wendy. Everyone can reach me either on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn if they just search Pete Beskus. I'm the only Pete Beskus on the internet, which is kind of funny.
Okay. That's awesome.
And I have my website, beskusconsulting.com. If somebody wants to go back and read some of the articles I've written, or if they want to contact me, set up a meeting just to chat, or, you know, to do kind of a diagnosis discovery call, you know, I'm always open to chatting with people. I think the first step to, you know, to this process is just getting comfortable that there's somebody out there who can help you. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's kind of what I offer to people. I have created a kind of a root cause analysis tool because I'm a nerd. You know, I came from engineering. I see all these business tools that we use. And if we could apply them a little bit to our life, how much better could we be, right? So I've created one of these tools. So if any of your listeners want them, they can reach out, DM me directly on either Facebook, like I said, Instagram, LinkedIn, or via my website. And I'd be more than happy to offer them that that worksheet, that tool.
Fantastic. So that's, and you said PeteBeskus.com, yeah. Correct? Okay. Yeah. And I'll spell it. I've got all the hyperlinks in the show notes for our listeners. So, but it's Pete, of course, and then Beskus, B as in boy, ESKAS.com. It sounds like you're on all the major platforms out there, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. No TikTok?
No TikTok.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're going to get you into TikTok, Pete.
Yeah. As a middle-aged man, TikTok isn't my natural environment. You know, it's kind of like that gorilla at the old silverback in the zoo who just wants to kind of hide in the corner a little bit.
Oh, Pete, you're not that old. All right. And they can also grab hold of this root cause analysis tool. Is that what you called it?
Yeah, that's what I called it for life. Okay. It's a life root cause analysis tool. So it's something they can use over and over again.
Life root cause analysis. Okay. Yeah. That sounds like it really provides some great awareness, right? To what's going on. So, and they can DM you to get a copy of that.
Correct.
All right. Fantastic. Well, Pete, you've already shared so, you know, many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation. My goodness, I've been taking notes all along. But if I could tap on you one last time here during our conversation, in looking at your own experience, in building your businesses, right? The dental practice for a bit, and now your coaching practice. What's some advice that you can share if you haven't already, or maybe repeat something with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's questioning their decision to have even started their own business because it's not going the way they wanted, or, you know, they're doubting their ability to succeed?
My biggest takeaway from my experience has been you can't do it alone. And I think a lot of us fall into that trap of pull ourselves up from the bootstraps. And I think that just causes pain and suffering. Look for some good mentors, you know, expand your network, reach out, find a business coach, find somebody who's in line with you. You know, don't just sit, you know, don't just take what comes to you, go out and find what you need, right. Ask for help.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to do that sometimes because we think we should already know, right?
That's right.
The thing is, we weren't born with a business building toolbox.
we are infants learning to walk.
Yes. And that toolbox needs to be filled by somebody who knows what tools you need. So yeah, I love that. Great. Awesome. Thank you so much, Pete, for providing that wisdom. And it, like I said, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from being a very successful career engineer and carrying that career engineer brain forward to the impactful work you're now doing as a certified life coach, helping other fathers create the lives they want now and the legacy they want to leave for their kids. So I really enjoyed our conversation, and I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you for having me, Wendy. This was a pleasure.
Yeah, this was so much fun. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Pete Beskus through his website. That's petebeskus.com. And of course, the social platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And be sure to ask for that Life Root Cause Analysis Tool worksheet. So that sounds like a fun process to go through and will provide a lot of insights. So, all right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of what I call compassionate selling, where you've fully supported your potential clients' decision-making process by providing them with everything they need to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. So are you 100% confident that you're fully supporting your potential clients? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Pete Beskus. And as always, here's to your success.